I'd like to call this meeting to order. The requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board in Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
My allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call, please.
Leoni?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Boyle?
Here.
First up on our agenda, we have the minutes of the meeting of November 15th.
Second.
Is there any discussion on anything in the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins.
Page 5. The vote for, and it's 14-2010, I abstained on. Yep.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? Six. So we don't have any correspondence this week. So at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimonies from guests. Just come to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Faye Brzezinski. And I'm here on behalf of trying to get... I spoke to you about the Glass-Steagall. Did anybody come here and tell you about it?
Yes, we have had a woman
who appeared here
twice.
Oh, really?
And
Carol? A little woman? Short hair?
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't remember her name, though. It could be.
Okay. Well, anyhow, so then I don't have to go through it. But anyhow, we're taking... What we want to do now is take... I have to go around, and all of us that belong to it, you go around and sign it, and then it gets sent to the Garrett and Scott Garrett. And that's what I was wondering. I know you can't do it, but I mean, if I could give you some that maybe other people could do it.
Is this like a petition you're talking about?
Well, what it's for is so Obama don't go on another spree of handing out money.
Yeah, I understand the purpose behind it. Is this like a petition you want to have in the building here, or
no?
You say you want somebody to sign something.
I mean, I have oodles of these where people go. I mean, I'm going around and have them signed, and so they realize. People are not, I mean, that the people aren't dumb. I mean, that they know that things are going downhill. And this is hopefully to have them stop and help the little guys. That's my understanding. I mean, he's giving money away to people that... I'm sorry. It's to give to, like, a store that needed help or something like that.
Excuse me, why are we discussing this in council? That's what I want to know.
Because it has to go before the board.
What board?
What direction do you want us to take? Is that what you're
Well, asking? if you did have... Oh, I'm sorry. If you did have a meeting with the Glass-Steagall... With Carol, I'm assuming it was Carol.
Yes.
Okay. I like whoever does your typing to type up that and send it to Jerry, because that's what Mansfield did. They typed it up. And did you approve it? Do you know?
We had no resolution. Nobody came forward and asked for a resolution.
to be introduced as far as that goes.
Oh, so you never talked about it or anything?
Was it, we had the woman, she was here twice. We'll assume it was Carol for the time being.
Yes.
She used to work in banking, I remember. I don't know if that
helps
you at all. And it was put out to the members of council to see if anybody wanted to have a resolution drafted in support of this. And to the best of my knowledge, no council member came forward and asked for a resolution to be drafted.
So, could that happen? I mean, it still can happen.
Yeah, if the member of council would like to have a resolution drafted, but I'm not sure that there's much interest among our members of council.
I would need to know more about it as far as what I'm making a resolution that my name would be on. Potentially, I mean,
well,
in 2 weeks that might not be the case.
Well, this one I'm talking about now is where, if you all agree upon it, here's Mansfield, and it was just short and simple.
Well, just because Mansfield doesn't necessarily mean we want to do it.
Well, could
No.
I'm just concerned about us getting involved in a political issue here, but I don't think we should
but
be involved.
But we have to.
Well, could we get copies of that so we could look at it? So that at the next meeting, if you come back at the next meeting, we can have at least an understanding of what you're trying to accomplish here.
Okay, well, this is what we're working on. But here, I mean, so she just wrote this up, and we sent, well, you give it back to me.
Sure.
I'll give you my number. And she just wrote it up. So that's in their book.
It's a resolution, basically.
Right. Yeah,
so
I understand.
We need to have copies of this so we could read it and decide on it next week.
I can give you copies.
That's fine.
I mean, I have a lot of copies.
Okay.
I mean, I can't give it all.
No, that's fine.
But I mean, I'll give you what we're working on right now. And like I say, I will go around Fort Murray. I will go around wherever I feel comfortable going around and getting names. Oh, I don't have a pen. Well, I just know my name. Oh.
Do you want to give her your information?
Do you have the Mansfield resolution number?
Oh.
I can just call them and get copies of it.
You didn't give it to me.
Was this it?
Is that it?
Was this the resolution that they passed?
No.
Well, you handed me, I handed back. I don't think it had a resolution number on it, though.
Oh, it didn't have a resolution.
No, it could have been a template.
All right, well, then this
is
it.
Well, this is what Mansfield did. I mean, it's just short and brief. And when you're done with it,
I'll just write the number down. I can call you.
And
it might be on their website here.
Yes. No problem. I can call them. I can get a copy of it.
Okay.
They'll email it to me.
Okay. And then if you do decide to, I'll leave this with you.
Okay.
I mean, you can read it over.
I'll disseminate it to council.
And I'll let you know, or I'll come to the next meeting. And you don't need my number?
Oh, sure. Well, here, let me record it.
That way everybody doesn't have it.
I'll get this to the borough council for that consideration.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. The gentleman in the second row, you're sitting next to him. Okay.
I saw your.
Yeah.
Is this your address? Which one's your address?
130.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Gary Pavorley, 115 Wayne Street. And, well, first of all, I'm also a member of the Pawhat Concrete Watershed Association, and I just want to thank Mr. Phelan and the DPW for helping us. We had a fall stream cleanup November 13th, which we coordinated with the high school Key Club. We had about 20, mostly teenagers come out, and in Washington Borough, we removed trash from Sheba Concrete from Ramapo Way down in the vicinity of the sewage treatment plant. And in Washington Township, we also gathered trash from a couple different locations, but the largest area that we removed trash from was the Mill Pond, which is in the township.
Excuse me, sir, could you use the microphone? I'm sorry, I really...
Sure. How's that? Better. Okay. And the Mill Pond, which is in Washington Township, but is owned by the borough, and that's a big hot spot because that kind of collects a lot of trash from Pawhat Concrete and also from Sheba Concrete. And the township, of course, removed that trash. And I did mention Mr. Phelan about there's a chain link fence there that apparently is the property of the borough, and it's kind of dysfunctional and kind of a hazard, I think. And he said it was going to be replaced by part of the dam replacement from the DEP.
Excuse me. One of the projects that we're working on right now is seeking permission from DEP to decommission that dam. If they allow us to officially decommission it, we can remove the fence. If they say we have to keep it, we have to do improvements to that area, which would include that fence. So what we don't want to do is spend money to put a new fence there only for them to tell us we can remove it.
That makes sense. And that might happen next year? Or
the project started, what, 3 months ago? 3.5 months ago is when the project started. The application to the state was sent about 2 weeks ago. I anticipate 6 months before we even hear anything from DEP. They are not the most responsive state entity. And we can't do anything until we know what their approval is.
All right.
Is it the one right beside the road?
Yes.
And you want to do away with it?
Well, I'm just saying it's a hazard. It's kind of falling over, and I don't think it's very functional. Let's see. Oh, and I was going to say, well, thanks again, but in the spring, I may be calling again.
Not a problem.
And maybe you can update me on what's going on with the DEP.
Absolutely.
And one last thing is that I'm also a member of the Washington Community Garden. I also thank the council for allowing us to use a property there over by the sewage treatment plant. I think it was, we accomplished a lot this year. We have that, the garden is up and running. We keep it, I think, fairly neat. And I think we had 72 plots. They're about 15 by 20. And maybe, I'm not sure the exact count, maybe 40 people or so were gardening there. Some people have multiple plots. But I just want to let you know that some of us gave part of our produce, or all of our produce, to various charities. We gave it to the Presbyterian Church right over here at the food pantry, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, which is right over here at the corner, and also NorthCap, which is in Phillipsburg, but serves Northwest Jersey. And we estimate we probably gave at least 2,000 pounds of fresh produce. And next year we'll do better. And we were talking to the Presbyterian Church about maybe they can help us a little bit. We need a little bit of manpower on the donation end of it. And it's sad to say, though, that according to the church, that up until recently they were serving 200 families in the area. Now they're serving 400. So I think there's just a greater need to, you know, I guess step up our effort, our agricultural output, I guess you could say, to help these people out. So I just want to say thanks again for that, and next year we'll do even better. Maybe the weather will be a little better because it was kind of hot and dry. It was kind of a lot of lugging water pails.
You don't have a hose there, Dragon?
We don't allow hoses.
You have a pump?
Yeah.
Okay. We have water.
Okay. And, I knew the water spigot was.
We have water, but no hoses. So keeps it strong.
Okay.
So, thanks.
It doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, there you go.
Yeah. Well, like I said, thank you again for all your help, and
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome, and I'll be back next year.
Did you get all that weed pulled out of the plot you called me about?
Not yet.
No, I said weed.
All the weed or weed?
Are you talking about weeds or weed?
Well, there was one particular species that Mr. Pomarley identified as very invasive.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
But maybe, I've been busy, but maybe sometime soon.
Okay.
So, happy holidays and happy new year.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm doing file at 88 West Stewart Street. Who takes care of Rudy's job? What he used to do?
There's a gentleman now who is our code enforcement officer. His name is Michael Stone.
Okay. In our alley, I know Rudy was after this guy.
Behind your home?
Huh?
Behind your home?
Mm-hmm. This man dug a big hole. I guess he was going to put a driveway in there or something to park his car. Anyway, he's got this big, deep hole and it's full of water. And all summer, I went over and I told him, I said, you've got to drain that because of the mosquitoes and such. Well, now he's got a yellow tape around it, and it's infringing over onto the alleyway. But I know that Rudy used to go over and practically threaten him, and he doesn't do anything. And it's just a big hole with water in it, and it's right on the alley area. And I think someone should go over and straighten him out and tell him he's got to drain it.
Well, I saw Mr. Phelan writing your address down as we were speaking here, so
I'll talk to the code officer first.
Yeah, because it seems to me that the water is, I mean, it's deep. I mean, it's probably a couple of feet deep. He dug it. I don't know what he was supposed to think he was doing. He wasn't draining it. But I just think it's a shame that he just leaves it. He's got this big yellow, what's this, emergency tape around it now?
Yeah, the caution tape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd appreciate if he is.
Enforcement take a look at it as soon as he can.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Hearing none, I'd accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have no ordinances. That takes us on to reports.
Move we file reports.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And abstentions. Do you have any committee reports this evening?
Mayor, I just have a real short report for the shared services. I had sent out an email to council earlier in the week. I just want the audience to know that the Hampton Borough took their offer off the table until the forensic audit is completed. They have concerns about some of the past practices, and they're waiting to see the outcome of that. I assured Hampton that we are no longer continuing to do business that way that might have been done in the past, which is yet to be seen. And I asked them if they would allow us to come back to the table in the future, and they said that opportunity would most likely still be there. So I'm sorry to say that that's not going to go forward to date.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Website committee has small update. I've been working kind of with the Shade Tree Commission regarding updates to the website. Sent them some mock-ups of what they're looking for. They said they were going to share it with the rest of their committee at the December meeting, whenever that is. I may not be in that capacity any longer, so whenever they send back to me, I'll forward to you and Janine, and you know, we'll make it work somehow. But that's about it. Nothing else.
Okay, thanks, sir. Any other committee reports? Okay, we have no old business. On to new business. Mr. Cioni, you want to discuss the concession stand?
Yes. I had contact with a few people that had expressed interest in potentially taking over the concession stand for 2011 season. So I want to make a motion to open the pool concession stand to competitive bidding for 2011. The RFP can go out in January via borough website, as well as some marketing literature that could be compiled for prospective vendors. Existing contract literature can be reviewed by the manager and attorney prior to RFP. Bid submission date would be early May for review and award late May. Worst case scenario, we don't get any bids or favorable bids. We pull it and we continue with business as usual. But I think this is a good thing to try again, see if there's a private entity that wants to take it over, because that's probably $5,000 worth of budgetary money that would we can use in the rec trust somewhere else, potentially. And I think we'd get better product and service if it was privately run, because there was a number of issues this past season with them running out of food and not stocking up properly, stuff of that nature that a private vendor probably wouldn't have gone through.
Okay. Mr. Farrelly, do you have any comments, pros or cons on this?
Second.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Cushing, do you have any concerns of anything like that?
No, it would not be improper to try to get requests for proposals for a service like that.
Okay. Has this been discussed with the rec committee at all?
Well, I spoke with the rec director.
Okay.
No, it has not.
Okay.
It's a decision that council can make.
Okay, and the effect on our cap, or our 2% cap, this would just be strictly revenue?
The money that's used to fund it is from the trust account, not from the current fund, so it wouldn't affect the 2% cap.
But we would be able to offset.
You would just be able to spend that money elsewhere within recreation in lieu of spending it in on the concession stand.
I mean, fingers crossed, it could be a win-win for the town if we get the right people in there.
What would be our out-of-pocket costs on that? Would there be anything?
No.
Electric?
Essentially, well, yeah. Well, not really, because essentially you work it out with the vendor so that they can either do percentage of profit month to month.
Okay.
Or they can just... We can agree on a flat fee, say $500 a month, let's say. So that money, when you're doing the analysis of how much, we should charge them, so to speak, you take into consideration the amount of power that the building offers.
Right.
Stuff like
sure.
that. But,
That could all be worked out in the proposal, too.
If I may, you are permitted for certain instances to have a minimum bid. So you can propose a minimum of X dollars. Anything above that, you have one bidder, you have 10 bidders. The highest bidder is who you go to.
Yeah, and
you
can
have a minimum bid.
I would propose it as a year-by-year.
Year-by-year.
So rather, because, we may, if we do a percentage of profits and, we do really well, that's a good thing. Every year we can re-look at it.
Just one thought that I had. Percentage of profits, it's going to be extremely difficult to write a bid spec. It's going to be extremely difficult to write a bid spec for that, and I think it's going to be extremely difficult to police it.
Receipts.
It's a lot of work.
Well, look.
Yeah, I'm just raising that.
There are just ways that we could
formulate
the bid spec, whether it's, we could agree on a flat rate.
I think
a
flat rate is probably the easiest,
that's
especially
fine.
To start out that
that's
way.
Fine.
You might want to go some other way.
Because we're really talking about a 2.5 to 3 month window at most. So, and they would have access to the storage space there. So what we would do is put together a flyer that sort of says, these are the amount of people that patronized the pool last year, these are the events that are held in the area, so these are the hours of operation, so that they get a an idea of how many people sort of have a captive audience there.
Would you want us to specify what kind of foods they serve?
We could sort of have ground rules, I guess you could say, similar to what we did with the vending machines, say types of food,
Yeah.
Obviously no glass, like those types of things. You'd want to have healthy options for the children. I would give,
The adults, too, they like healthy stuff.
Maybe they would have to submit a menu along with the bid spec. We could specify that so that we can give an idea of what they're agreeing to serve. It's for the most part based on the equipment that's there, or the power capacity. They're going to be somewhat limited in what they can and can't offer.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
I have a question. Do we want to open it up for the baseball season? So is it open during baseball hours?
Well, it would depend on the vendor. I mean, if the baseball season coincides with the pool season, sure. I mean, if it's a question where the baseball season extends beyond the pool season, and the vendor wants to open it for just those games, you could do like a, probably like a, you know, per event cost or something like that. I mean, all those things could be kicked around. And really, it's going to depend on whether the vendor wants to invest the time and effort.
Right.
Okay, well, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Torre, I'm sorry, we can't do that right now, but I'll let Mr. Torre speak since he's going to be part of this come next year.
I think the whole idea is a good idea for new business coming in. It might be important to go more than a year. And also, it would be probably advantageous for us to tell them they have a minimum number of hours that they have to keep it open.
Well, they would have to have a minimum hours of the time of the pool operation. So in other words, if the pool's open from 12 to 6, they would have to be open at least from 12 to 6. That would be in the bid spec.
Right.
So in other words, they couldn't open from 3 to 6 or something like that.
Right.
Have to have
also gives them the option of if they want to serve baseball games or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, again, we could build in some flexibility there. Because again, you know, multi-year, it sounds great, but a lot of times there's trepidation on the business owner's perspective too, because they don't know what kind of foot traction they're going to get, because don't forget, people can still bring their food into the park. So, I mean, you know, there's hesitation from an investment perspective on their point. They want to try before you buy, so they kick it around for a year. If it works out really well, then it's a no-brainer. We could do a longer-term deal next year.
Any other council discussion?
You can actually open it up for someone who wants to, right?
I was thinking of the swim team. The parents always had the fundraisers most days where they would serve that kind of stuff. But that would be the swim team and not the swim lessons.
Okay, well, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Mr. Valentine, you have some comments on the budget.
Yeah. I was at the executive meeting at the library when they were discussing the just giving them the funds to go. It was an incredible meeting. I mean, they came up with some really good ideas. And I really think we should do a motion to put this through, to vote to give them their money so they can. We had discussed this earlier on. Vic Cioni brought this up a couple of months ago, and it wasn't acted upon. And the thing is it's going to take the library time to initiate the changes that they need to make to get this underway, and this should have been done months ago. We really need to look at doing this as soon as possible. So that's one of the issues that I was talking about.
In what regards are you talking about?
Remember, we were going to be talking about giving them the one-third of the mill.
Well, by law, we have to do that.
Right. But we're going to be having them responsible for their budget. Remember, we were talking about that, taking it out of the line items.
I think the one-third of a mill, but they have to figure out their own.
They're going to do their whole budget with
it. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they've already been notified that's going to be done, have they not?
No.
That's right. We prepared them for that.
Right. So we really need to get, this has to be, like, done.
So you're looking for a motion, or you're going to want to make a motion that to inform the library board that they will only get one-third of a mill in next year's budget.
Right, yes.
I'll second that.
I don't know that you can.
Why?
Can he? Because it's something that's going to take effect for next year when he won't be here.
John's going to be here.
Yeah, you are, but I'm talking
for
you.
Oh, my second.
For you.
He still has all of his powers until...
Yes.
The end of the year.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking of is it's something that takes effect next year, and you can't vote on something that takes effect for next year. But we're just talking to inform them and not budget it, correct? So that's...
Okay.
That includes the pension stuff and all of that, right?
They have to figure it out.
If I may, John, please correct me if I'm wrong. The motion, if you will, was to notify the library that they're going to receive the minimum funding, and any costs above and beyond that are their responsibility?
Yes.
All right. And this kind of dovetails, if you will, into a conversation I had with the schools and with the library as well. I spoke with the superintendent and the library director. Assuming a horrible budget year next year, we kind of worked on a preliminary, if you will, worst-case scenario. And in conversations with those two persons, we were able to come up with a concept that would be a shared service agreement with the schools that would save the borough money, save the schools money, while maintaining the exact level of service that the library has today.
But just for a second, Mrs. Rose, our library director, has announced her retirement also, which has also precipitated this conversation.
The specifics we're still ironing out because I need to present that to council, obviously, in exec, as this would be a contract to be discussed. The personnel side, right. The concept of the shared service would be sharing an employee that benefits both the school and the library at a reduced cost. As a result, the library would be able to maintain the level of service and operational hours it has now. Barbara Rose, the current library director, has worked on a budget for next year preliminarily, saying that if they only receive the one-third, they can maintain a level of service even without the shared service concept with the schools for 1 year. So there are a couple options. So that's why we're exploring the option of the shared service. It's been presented to council. I was planning on doing it at the end of this month, either or the beginning of next, having superintendent and I, between now and then, come up with a concept and then have him come in and present to council what our concept is. The library board and the library director conceptually agree with everything, but there's some things that still need to be ironed out.
The other thing about this, too, is that while it's not going to increase the library hours at all, it actually is going to make the library more efficient and actually offer more services to the school because of the interaction between that they don't have now between the schools and the library. So it really is that's a great situation. It's very good. Plus, it's going to save both sides money.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, motion and a second. We have that.
Hearing no other discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that takes us to...
Wait a minute.
What? You have something else?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
The Capital Improvement Fund, I don't know where we are at that, but again, looking at the fact that we're already $650,000 over budget, I think that really should be kept at zero for this year. I don't think it's going to really affect us. And we really need to look at creating the land use board because that would combine two boards and save us about $5,000. And at this point, we need to save everything we can.
Rich, if we set the capital to zero, though, wouldn't that really potentially hamstring us? Because, I mean, we've reduced it last year to 75,000.
From 75 to 37.5.
37.5, okay.
We have approximately $100,000 in capital improvement funds available right now. That's typically used for cash projects or down payments for borrowing.
And if we reduce that, we'll never sort of get ahead of the curve of being able to do potential capital projects. We'll never have a chance to build that surplus up, correct?
Yes and no. It all depends on what capital projects or purchases you're considering in the next few years.
Well, a lot of the work that we would consider, say, in the next few years, we would probably have to have some semblance of, you know, whether it's a DOT grant or something, we would have to contribute X amount of dollars towards in order to get that grant. So generally that comes out of capital.
Well, it either comes out of capital cash, but typically what happens is you use that cash as your 5% down payment for a bond. So that 100 grand theoretically could be 5% of a bond. I mean, that's a big bond. Technically we could. I mean, we're well with under, believe it or not, we're actually well under our statutory limit for what we can borrow. Typically you either use that money for cash to fully fund something, as we did earlier this year with the dam study, or as a percentage for a down payment for a future project.
And that rolls over every year, correct? That's there.
That's correct.
Every year.
That's correct. Unless the money spent, it stays there.
Well, like the dam project, we took $26,000 out of it to fund the dam project.
That's correct.
I would be in favor of reducing it to a fixed number, but I would not be in favor of moving it to zero, because I think that's...
The 100,000, no, not taking the 100,000 down to zero, but he's talking about funding it again this year, right?
That's what he's talking about. Oh, so it would be 180 with the funding?
Right.
So keep it at 100,000?
Right.
No, that 100,000 is what's amassed there over the last several years.
Right.
That includes the 37.5 in this year's budget.
Right.
So next year, if you budget zero, we only have $100,000 in there.
Right. Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine.
It's not canceling the money or anything. It's just not increasing the savings.
That's exactly why I asked the question, because I needed to understand that. So I'm in favor of keeping it at zero, if that's the case. Well, keeping it at 100,000, not increasing it.
Not increasing it in next year's line item budget.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Rich, have you developed a capital improvement wish list for 2011 yet?
It was developed this year for 2010. There's only a couple items that departments have requested new. In my opinion, they're small enough items that you don't want to borrow money for, if it's approved, of course, totaling maybe about $10,000. I would not recommend borrowing over 10 years for $10,000. That's something you would pay out of the capital improvement fund. We're in the budget process right now. Natasha is actually in the process, as we speak probably, of providing all up-to-date numbers, or at least as accurate as we can get, pending some state responses, for next year's budget. So we do have a five-year capital improvement plan. We're just going to be amending it this year, as we do each year.
We had approved that Beethoven Ave repair because it was an unsafe. Is that in there?
You approved the grant.
The grant.
To apply for the grant. If the grant is approved, depending on the cost of the project, you can either pay for it all in cash or borrow. That's the council's decision.
We would be on the hook for, worst case, about $27,000, I think.
I think it was upper 20s. I don't recall specifically, but yes.
All right. Thank you.
If we have a capital project that may happen for about $10,000, and it seems like everyone wants to keep the level of $100,000, why couldn't the future council budget $10,000 for capital? So if we know we have that $10,000 project coming up, we're going to keep a balance of $100,000 in there. So I think it would just be prudent to plan for that and budget for it. I mean, $10,000 in the budget, it's a lot, but it's not that much.
As part of the 2011 budget process, once we present all the information to council, council can, you know, say, all right, well, we want to pay for this project in cash, we want to push this project back, you know, 2 years, et cetera. And as part of that, the money raised for the capital improvement fund comes out of the current budget. So it is part of the 2% cap. So obviously that needs to be taken into consideration when preparing next year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we are literally now compiling all the numbers, recreating everything as far as the 2011 introduced budget.
Just something to keep in the back of the room.
Mrs. Detlef? I'm sorry, that door has to stay open because it's an open public meeting.
Okay, anything else
on this?
Okay, that moves us over to application for a bingo license.
Excuse me.
One more?
Dealing with the garbage now. Now that we're not, you know, we got shot down with Hampton, what are we going to do? Are we going to go out and remove it from the line item and do the separate billing? I mean, that seems like that's our last option.
That's right.
That's a council decision.
Can we make that decision tonight?
Council can make a decision on anything at any time as long as, you know.
Something that has been in the back of my mind is, how was the public question worded? That is say to keep the garbage collection in the
tax rate.
I think it said in the tax rate. I mean, the question, the non-binding question said, privatize or not privatize. That's the simple version, if you will, of the question. I don't recall the exact.
It didn't say to keep it in the tax rate.
No, it said, it did say tax rate. It didn't say under property taxes, if I recall correctly. I'd have to go pull my copy. Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
So if we pull it out of...
But even if it did, it was non-binding, the question, so...
True.
I just don't recall the specific language.
I'm just wondering, even if it is non-binding, where do we sit as far as having separate billing for it and not have it within the taxes?
That's something that we're not set up for. We would have to create that process. In essence, what would happen is you create an expenditure for collection and disposal. You have an offsetting revenue that zeroes it out. So therefore, since you have one revenue dedicated towards an expenditure, that amount gets adjusted in your budget as far as the levy cap, because the revenue is paying for it, because you're not raising that in your property taxes. Now, what happens is, if two property taxes are based on assessment, and if based on your assessment, say it costs $200 of your municipal taxes for garbage collection based on your assessment, that $200 would be removed from your property taxes, but you're getting a bill for $200. So it's not a reduction, it's
the same.
It's right. The same, but it's outside of the cap.
Right. And you don't get a tax deduction.
Right.
On your federal income tax.
Now, how do we budget for people who do not pay that extra cost of the garbage outside of the tax?
It would be no different than any other municipal charge. If you don't pay your municipal bill, sewer, if you have a sewer utility, a water utility, something of that nature, garbage utility, it would be like anything else. Interest would kick in, delinquency.
Excuse me, your voice is dropping.
I'm sorry. It would be the same as any other municipal bill. If you don't pay it, interest accrues.
Right, but doesn't the borough have to budget a
reserve,
certain amount of money in reserve in case, like reserve for uncollected taxes or reserve for uncollected garbage fees? Wouldn't that have to be built in somewhere?
Not directly, because think about it. You don't necessarily have a reserve for people who don't pay their sewer bill. You account for that in what you bill. So whatever you bill for, council will have to decide, do you want to bill for actual that changes each year? Do you want to bill off of an EDU?
I think you're both saying the same thing.
Yeah, we're meeting in the middle. No.
Yes, you're right. You have to take into account the fact that some people may not pay.
And that's what goes into account when you set the fee.
So then it wouldn't be $200 out of your taxes, $200 for garbage.
I use that as an example based on your assessment. Again, if you decide to do EDU, that's a different story. I mean, it's $442,000 this year for garbage collection. Theoretically, you can divide that by all the property owners, and there's your bill. We know what our collection costs will be for the next 3 years. Disposal is an unknown. Now, if you bill it off of EDU, it could get tied right into the sewer billing. As far as it ties in, this property gets billed for one EDU, that property gets billed for five. In essence, you would come up with whatever you would deem a fair EDU cost for garbage collection.
Two comments.
Thanks, sir.
I have, in my own town that I live, Lambertville, they do this, okay? I'm not 100%, I've always kind of wondered whether it was legally possible to do this, because essentially you're taking a municipal service, which you formerly were part of the taxes, and you're then saying, okay, well, let's move it outside because of the cap, and we'll just bill it. Now, you couldn't do that for police. You couldn't say, if you had a police department, you couldn't say, all right, everybody's EDU for a police department use is X number of dollars. Now, you can do it for sewer, clearly. You can do it for water. There are statutes that regulate those utilities. So I've always had a little bit of legal question. I don't know, Rich, if any of the towns that you previously worked in did it.
I can't think of the name of the town off the top of my head. The auditors wanted to suggest this one of his other towns passed an ordinance and got approval from the state.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't recall. It was in Morris County.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of the town.
Well, one of the concerns that I always had in my town, in Lambertville, and I'm not sure legally, there's a court case on this, I'd have to take a look at it, too, is that if you set up the system and somebody sues and challenges it, then you're stuck repaying it, you're going backwards. So we'd have to take a little bit of look at this to make sure legally that it can be done. Always, I just had a little question about it. The other thing I will tell you, just as a practical thing, in Lambertville, there's a lot of hostility to this. You know, nobody wants to pay anymore. They're not really paying anymore. It was just done for auditing or accounting purposes from one pot to another pot. But a lot of people say, look, if you're going to bill me that way, I live by myself, okay? I only create this much garbage. You know, the family next door to us has seven kids. Look at all the garbage they produce. Now, let's have a fairer system than an EDU system. Let's have one that's based on use. It gets more and more complicated when you do that. I just raised that just because those are experiences that I've had.
Yeah. We have the same question.
Yeah. With sewer.
I asked this question, Dick. What if I don't want the town to provide the service? I can take my trash to the dump and pay $2 a bag.
I don't know the answer to that, Dave. I think it's a good question, and I'm not sure how you enforce it if it's not a tax, okay? Mm-hmm. The way that you compel payment of a tax... Do you hear me? Okay, so the way that you compel payment of a tax is you put a lien on the property, right? And there's a statutory mechanism that allows for that collection of that money. I'm not sure how you collect this money. Rich made reference to a lien. Liens are statutorily authorized. Okay, you can't put a lien on something, on somebody's property, unless it's authorized by statute. And so I'm not sure there's a statute that says that. So, and if somebody, you know, normally we collect, if somebody doesn't go along with an ordinance, you have a punishment. You go get fined, you go to jail or something like that. This is collection of a debt. So obviously you can't fine people for not paying. Would you have to sue them? There's some questions that I think about this. And look, Rich is absolutely right. It is done in other towns, and it is done largely because of the cap issues that have been created. Municipalities are trying to think of creative ways to get around these cap issues. Again, taxpayers pays the same thing. It just comes out of a different pocket. So I think you got to think it through a little bit, and legally I think we need to take a look. I just don't want to get you in a situation where some big, are you going to charge commercial the same as you charge residential? And right now commercial is having its garbage picked up as long as it's out on the street.
Residential,
I'm sorry. Okay, so, you know, how do you charge the apartment complexes? Again, do you do it by an EDU? There's a lot of complexity to this, and if they say it's not legal, because we have had past challenges by the apartment complexes, not in the past 5 years or so, but there were battles over garbage in the past, and the way garbage, the solution for the apartment complexes was everybody's treated the same, because if you put your garbage out on the street in cans, not larger than a certain size, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a single-family house or a multifamily house. You've got to do that, so we're not treating anybody any differently. But I guess my point in this regard is you've had some apartment complexes that have been aggressive with respect to challenges when they thought their interests were being affected, so it's conceivable somebody could challenge this legally.
Yeah, I'm not against thinking of ways. I'm not voting against thinking of ways how to comply with the state mandates that were up, but I'm not supporting this idea because in layman's terms, I don't want another bill from the town either, you know, because, you know, you don't even know if that even came out of your tax rate to begin with. So, and then all the intangibles of running an office with another set of requirements with the sewer billing and the quarterly, now we've got the garbage billing and all the other things they got to do. I mean, May in 2011, we may have to hire somebody else because, you know, it's just not be able to keep up. So the ideas of thinking of ways to help this municipality is fine. I'm support that. But this particular endeavor, I think it's more than what we can really ask of the town at this point.
Well, as I understand it, too, the other way that we can get around this with the cap is by going out now to a special election to the voters to let them vote to fund it, correct? Is that how it stands right now?
To exceed the cap, not to specifically fund one thing, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The state does not care. Let me clarify. The state isn't as concerned with where you're spending the money to exceed the levy cap. They're primarily concerned with if the voters approve it, you can spend it. Right now, we're, like I said, we're about 650 over cap next year.
But is garbage still essential?
Well, I deem garbage essential, but, I mean, it's subjective. As is it essential to be provided by the municipality, or is it essential to be collected privately?
Right.
That's a subjective answer.
That's one of the answers we're still waiting for from the state. But
I know for a fact 2% is 2%. There's only three or four exceptions to that, and everything else falls under that 2%. This is one of those numbers that are contributing to that 650 over.
So I don't know we can really make an intelligent decision, too, until we know exactly how the state is going to deal with this.
I apologize. You were just asking something. Were you asking me a question?
No.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think the counselor brought up some good points, you know, to look into this further to see what ramification could possibly rear its ugly head in the future.
Mr. Torres?
I agree 100%. There's a lot of offense that were made tonight on the garbage issue. And I feel that Dave especially put out a good point. What if everybody decides to opt out? I mean, you set up this whole department.
Can we save
go
money?
Through these.
Actually,
and everybody decides to take their own, except for maybe, certain people.
We're good.
But I mean, you know, majority, a big percentage. So it's a very complex issue, I think. Something that really should be dealt with delicately.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's a complex issue, and we don't have all of the facts in front of us because they're just not available yet, you know, which is part of the issue with it.
That monthly fee, did that, the figure off the top of your head, Rich, did that include the tipping fees?
And when you say the monthly fee?
The monthly fee that you threw out off the top of your head. I know it was a...
Oh, yeah. It's $442,000 is the total cost for garbage collection and disposal.
Oh, and disposal.
And disposal, that's correct. And that was just an arbitrary number. I mean, obviously, right. I'd have to look at the particular property.
Anything else?
Yeah. The other thing
can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
Wasn't there a motion and second on that?
No.
I don't believe there was.
No.
No, there was no prior issue.
The creating the land use board and combining the other two boards to create the land use board, again, would save us money. And that was something that was discussed a while back. It was voted down again. I think we have to take a look at it again. And yes, you know, it's still saving money. And I know nobody likes to see their position gone on any board, but, you know, I think $650,000 over the cap.
That would have to be done by ordinance, correct?
Right. So it would have to be in the beginning of the year.
But that's a good thought. You should keep that top
of
mind.
I have absolutely no idea what anybody... What was your statement?
Oh, creating a land use board, that would eliminate... you would take the two...
Planning board and board of adjustments.
Board and board of adjustments and combine them. It would save us about $5,000. You know, I admit it's $5,000, but when you're looking at $650,000 over your 2% cap, you really got to look at cutting corners. And nobody likes their position cut in any of these boards, but the reality is...
I just didn't know what the topic was.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Mr. Torres.
I just have one comment based on that. What it is, a lot of these boards have a lot of business going at once. Sometimes it's all of a sudden. So it may, to combine this, even though it would be somewhat of a frustrating, really could cause a backlog. And, you know, that's an area you don't want a backlog.
And don't put that issue now.
Well, each board has, I believe, one meeting a month.
Right. And we sometimes cancel our meetings.
Yeah. And we could schedule two meetings a month, you know, to help with that. and if a meeting isn't necessary, it could just be canceled. So there's a way around it. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Valentine?
No, that's it.
You're sure?
Yes.
Okay. Can I go on now?
Sure.
We have an application for a bingo license for St. Joseph Church.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
And we have an application for a raffle license, again, for St. Joseph's Church for 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Sure. Okay. Is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
And we have a bunch of resolutions for tax sales certificate redemption, three of them, 2009, 2010, and 2011. How about if we do those together?
I'll move those.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of them? May I have a roll call, please?
Campbell?
Yes.
Keeling?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Egan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Next, we have Resolution 12-2010 for the Warren Heritage Byway Management Plan.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
This is renaming the 57 corridor. Is that it?
It's giving it a name. Downstairs is the entire draft proposal. If you want to see it there, it has been completed, but I only had a copy of the draft that I could leave here. What it does is it creates a scenic byway, makes you available, makes grants available to you. It becomes run by the County of Warren in a management plan, sort of like doing our downtown revitalization plan. This is along those lines.
I thought we did this already.
I think we voted to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to approve the plan that they've put in place.
There's absolutely no cost to the borough.
None.
Just restrictions.
Any other discussion?
Restrictions.
Great. All in favor? I'm sorry?
I said that puts the restrictions on the billboards, any new signage, things like that.
It can. I don't. I think there are some in the
plan. Historic buildings.
I'm sorry?
Historic buildings. What can be done? You have to get their approval.
I believe you're correct.
Does that affect our downtown, like with our signs, with our, would that affect, you know, with the facades? If somebody wanted to do something with the building that they have?
As it stands right now, no. The way that the plan is written, that it coincides with our plan for the downtown.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? 214-2010, authorizing budget transfers.
I'll move Resolution 214-2010.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
I just have one question. The health insurance, is that stated because of the court being gone?
No, if you look above it, it's coming out of general administration. General administration is where we put, for lack of a phrase, a contingency should a new employee come on during the year and or an existing employee be eligible for benefits. If someone right now is not eligible for benefits, by law every October, we have to afford them an opportunity.
Okay, but it's being transferred from general administration health insurance.
Correct.
To general administration and then one of these things right here. But it's coming out of the health insurance.
Correct. It's coming out of general, yes, under health insurance.
My question is, is that what's left over from our health insurance premium?
That's
because we don't have the court.
No. What that is for is should an existing employee who's not eligible for benefits become eligible. We need to account for that each year in our budget. And this year, no ineligible employee chose to opt into the health benefits plan.
No ineligible.
Meaning, my spouse has health insurance. I'm not covered under the borough.
Okay.
Fine. But say next October comes and I want to join the borough plan. I need to account for that in the budget because the state bills you for that. That's a contingency should somebody's health insurance policy change from not being covered to covered. Otherwise, you're going to have a deficiency when you get the bill from the state.
Okay, so next year when we do our budgeting, we'll know how many people can opt in and what we have to put in.
Yeah, we knew that this year.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Housel?
Yes.
Neely?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Stevens?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yes. That takes us to vouchers.
Move and pay our bills.
Second.
Any discussion on any of the bills?
Page 2 and page 10, sorry. It's real quick.
On the current or sewer?
Current. On page 2, CFM down there, the winterization of the pool, $1,600. But I'm looking at it like that bill was September 28th, right?
Yes.
Okay, then if you go to page 10, you're talking about a water bill for the park, $291.90.
The bathrooms are still being used. I mean, there are still events. He couldn't finish winterizing it until mid-November, until after all the events down at the park were done.
Well, yeah, we still had soccer.
Yeah, there were still events going on at the park. He winterized the pool in phase one. He winterized the grandstands after all the events were done.
When was that done?
Third week of November. Second week of November, I think it was. Week of the 15th, I believe it was.
Well, I'm just saying, look, there's people in the municipal building every day, or 5 days a week. And what's limited up there at the park is, if you go to the municipal building, you only use $97 worth of water that month for that building period. Do we have a leak again?
No. I mean, sometimes there's a couple hundred people there in an event. I mean, on any given day, there's not a couple hundred people in the municipal building using the bathrooms.
I understand that. Seems like an awful lot of water.
One of the examples I can give is one of the nights we were there at the stadium, there was easily, between kids and adults, there was easily 150 people running around. So I had to bring my kids to the bathroom at least twice in the hour that I was there. So.
Okay, any other questions on the list? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Albert?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
I abstain on anything that has to do with the fire department, and yes on everything else.
Yep. Okay, Mr. Fail, to recap.
I will contact the code enforcement officer regarding the issue in the alley behind West Sewer Street. We will begin drafting specifications for the concession stand RFP, and I will inform the library board of council's decision regarding your budget for 2011.
Mr. Mayor, are we going to have council comments?
Yes. And I'm going to start with the council comments, the first thing being professional appointments. We received the round two quotes. Is there anybody who wants to interview any of those individuals or firms?
Did we confirm with Councilwoman Gleba?
She has sent an email saying who she would like to.
Right.
Three.
Two?
Three.
So those are the three firms.
Four, Bond,
Engineer
Slash, this four, and this one.
Okay. Yeah, Councilwoman Gleba suggested looking at Parker for the Bond Council, Cole and Associates for the Engineer, Sewer and Municipal, and Municipal Attorney doing Florio, Perucci, Steinhardt, and Fader.
We may need to contact Steinhardt's office. He called me this afternoon. He was going to come tonight in front of us, but he had some concerns and he wanted to discuss a little further.
Okay, is that something we should discuss in executive session? The look on your face?
Am I blushing too?
No, you just have a very concerned look on your face about something.
Yeah, you know, when you say something in public, all of a sudden, you know, you get your hands smacked when you close the doors. So I'm trying to turn it.
You can It can be an executive under personnel if you choose, depending, if you want to inform council.
Maybe very quickly. The quagmire with me is I do business with Steinhardt's firm, so.
And you have recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but can I still talk what he said?
Not knowing what he said, it's hard for us to answer.
I don't think that's a major problem.
All right.
Communicating what.
I'm sorry for my ignorance.
He spoke to me, I'll bring it up.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I don't think this, we should create barriers over that. If you want to get the information to council, I think you should do it officially. I don't think anybody's going to get too worked up over that.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do, just deal with these three?
From my understanding, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Torres, did you have any particular professional that you wanted to interview?
No.
Okay.
I haven't done either.
Okay.
We don't get a say.
Rich, didn't you need to know by the way?
I need to get in order with the memorandum of understanding. The state needs 2 weeks to review and approve our request for appointees next year. Taking into the time, their review period, plus the municipal clerk's time to prepare the reorg agenda. I mean, I need to know, like, this week. If there's existing firm or firms or professionals that the governing body wishes to consider appointing a reorg, I need to know now to get approval in advance so there's no lapse in coverage for that profession. I mean, if I may, Dick, last year, through Lorraine, in your office, she said it was permissible for the for my office to poll counsel for the respective professions in order to prepare for reorg, because no action is being taken until the reorg meeting. Has there been any change that you're aware of that in the law that would preclude that?
You mean reach out to individual council members to get their sentiments?
Yes.
No, I don't think so, because ultimately I think the answer is that you could
do that, and then if ultimately there's going to be a public vote, and that would decide it. So I think regardless of the poll, so.
I mean, since time is of the essence, is that something that council wants? I mean, current council, and I guess council-elect members as well.
We have a quorum. I'm satisfied with the ones that I submitted, and I don't want to step on toes with Councilwoman Gleba. We have a deadline, and I think we have to respect the deadline.
Yeah, I agree.
I just want to say that I would have had liked to have an opportunity to interview some of these candidates as well. However, because of the nature of this, I guess it's not for
the reorganization meeting the first week of January. Due to the lateness and the additional requirements from the state for review, we're not going to have professionals appointed a reorg. I mean, that puts us at risk in many areas.
Unless we make a decision tonight.
Right.
Unless council would like me to poll over the next couple of days.
I think we
make
a decision tonight.
I mean,
I don't know if you can. Can you?
No, someone can make a motion to have it, placed. I mean, you could poll tonight.
Well, I think the point is we can't make
decision. You can't decide it.
You can't decide
it. Council is going to make a decision on January, whatever your reorg night is, third or whatever. But, I mean, as a practical matter.
This is a discussion about which firms you want to interview. Nothing
more. No. Interviewing is the easy part. But, I mean, if there's a profession that, I mean, remember, every day that goes by is just a longer day for the state to give us approval.
So you're saying
it can't be placed on the reorg agenda until they approve it.
I understand that, but doesn't the MOI say that you can make emergency appointments?
This is an emergency. We knew about it.
Yeah, but you can't hold a future council to,
again, that would be under the polling the council members elect as well.
Victor and I would not. You know what it is?
I think
Dave's got a point. Dave's point is,
I don't know if you can do that.
January 1st, I'm not sure about when the engineer is the 3-year appointment. So, I mean, with the attorney, just by giving an example, my appointment expires December 31st.
Correct.
Right? So, Dave's point, I think it's right, is that a new council is going to come into effect on January 1st. And if you poll and you make a determination, the new council could vote differently from what you tentatively decide now, right?
Right.
So I think you're right. So the answer is, but still the state is saying, what contracts are you going to have? And I guess the answer is, if you elect to appoint professional A, you designate professional A at the present time, but in fact, at the reorganization meeting, you end up appointing professional B. Well, you just, I think you just notify the state. The state's not going to tell you, you have to keep professional A.
You can't appoint, though, until they approve.
Correct, yeah. So you would say, all right, we're going to appoint through. And look, as a practical matter, if you end up, let's say, you have some issue in that regard, most people, most professionals are going to say, all right, I'll cover for till you get somebody to be, you know, to be the replacement. So I don't think you're ever going to have a gap in terms of actual professional advice.
So, Rich, what Dick said, so what's professional can we not do without for a couple of weeks? The attorney? I'm sure we're not worried about bond counsel or...
Well, remember, we're in litigation, so if something should come up...
Okay, so the attorney is...
The engineer, because we still have engineering projects going, and it won't be officially closed out till then.
How about if we do this? How about if we take a straw poll? Because there's two people that are coming on.
But no, that was my...
You understand what I'm saying? And would the two people make that much of a difference?
I know. I just...
Sure. You know. Is it possible to make a resolution to extend our current town council to the beginning of January for 2 weeks?
No. The only possible thing that I can see is appointing provisionally until the state approves, and even that is iffy because the state has to approve that.
The bottom line is, without state approval, we won't have representation next year in any professional area until the state approves it, until this body act, or the next year's governing body acts on that. I mean, if you want to wait till, as an example, say you wait till January to discuss it, to move forward, I then send it to the state, you might not have representation in these firms theoretically till February. I mean,
what you're saying is, if you vote on January 4th, the night of our meeting, what would happen is it would go into the state the next day. The state has 2 weeks to approve it, and then by the time you take action, your next meeting has already lapsed.
Yep.
So you're into February.
Well, it's not that the state has 2 weeks. They say it should take
them
about 2 weeks.
They say it takes about 15 days is what they talk.
And we're talking 14 municipalities have to do this?
No, whoever will receive... 14 calendar year municipalities, state fiscal year municipalities haven't been awarded yet.
Okay.
And there's also additional aid programs. All in all, there's probably about 100 municipalities that have to do this.
100.
I mean, this is a policy decision, and you know, council can have, you know, the downtime, for lack of a phrase, from if they want to wait till reorg to discuss this. I mean, it's not stopping the interviews from occurring between now and reorg, but if you want to wait till next year's governing body, you know, for the further along, you know, the appointments, that's fine. We'll just have, you know, certain... Now, from a practical standpoint, and I can't speak for all of our professionals, but if I was one of those professionals, I personally might be a little hesitant to continue working, not knowing if I'm going to be reappointed or not.
When we went through this process, when the three of us got elected, we were the elects. Went to every meeting, listened to what was being said. When we came to vote, had a pretty good idea of what was going on. So that fell on our responsibility. You know, when January 4 comes along, now you're the elected official. The way you vote should be done based on your knowledge. And if you don't have that knowledge, you're certainly going to follow suit. Well, these guys must know what they're talking about.
The only difference is then you could theoretically leave the name blank on the resolution and vote for it right then and there. Now we need approval first.
We didn't have to have approval when we came.
I need to send to the state a document signed by myself, the CFO, and the mayor, where the funds are coming from, what the firm is, a copy of their proposal, a copy of their fee schedule, how much we're budgeting. And they need to approve that for all the professionals in advance. This is not, well, I agree with what you said. I do agree with that. Theoretically, you can leave the names blank, and then council as a whole can vote right then and there. We don't have that luxury this year, because we need state approval. Now, you could do that, but you're pushing final appointments off to the end of January or February.
I think, my opinion is, I really don't think we should change any of the appointments the way, with what we're going through right now in the borough. I think the professionals that we have now are really working our best benefit. And it was up to me. I don't even want to consider interviewing other people, because I think what we have is working for us. And the stuff that's coming up this year, I don't think we should change in extreme.
Well, Mr. Boyer, you proposed changing one professional, correct?
Bond counsel.
Yes. I agree pretty much with what Mr. Boyle has. He and I are on the same
page. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
On the same page there.
Excuse me. I agree there, yeah. That's about the only one that I'd even consider. The rest of them, I just think we should, like I said, these people are working for us, and they're doing a good job getting us out of where we were, and I just don't want to change midstream at this point.
For the record, I'm abstaining from the municipal attorney appointment.
It's for the transitional aid. With that memorandum of understanding we had to sign, that's one of the conditions of it, in order to get the transitional aid.
So this is a brand new thing we have to deal with the state?
Yes.
Okay, that's,
our
supervisor. If you will, yeah, that's a way of stating it.
I mean, because this happened,
should
happen every year at this time.
Well, the other thing is, you also came in with the new administration in the state, and this was Christie's plan to try to make things run a little bit smoother.
Right.
Prior to that, this wasn't in existence.
Yeah, I just couldn't understand why we're having a discussion that should happen every December at this time.
Because we didn't have a depression a couple of years ago.
Well, Mr. Higgins, do you have any comments you'd like to make in a straw polling type of fashion on this?
No, no comments.
Okay. Mr. Torres?
No.
Okay. You two can't. We have...
Why?
What are we doing?
Why can't they?
Because they're gone.
They
don't have the ability to vote now.
Well, I think they can...
Wait a second, they can straw poll now.
Yeah, they can vote on the straw poll. They're not going to be able to vote ultimately on the issue of who gets appointed.
Here's the point I'm trying to make.
Whoever's going to get appointed will get appointed by a different council.
Here's the point I'm trying to make.
I mean, they still have whatever power, I'm sorry, Dave.
That's all right.
But they still have, as I said before, they still have whatever powers they have till the end of the year. They don't lose their powers by virtue of the fact that they're not running again.
Absolutely. So you take a straw poll. You take a straw poll of everybody, including the...
It wouldn't be, if that's council discretion.
What do you mean it wouldn't be? You're talking about taking a straw poll, right?
Again, that was an option.
Okay, listen.
From a realistic standpoint, while they have all their authority...
But if you take the straw poll, including them right there, and you got the two new people that are coming on, does it make it... Will it offset what they're voting?
I understand what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying? Like Patrick said, he said everybody should know where they're going to go. So if they throw in their straw poll votes, or their straw poll, you got the two new guys that come in, and if they decide to vote different, is it going to change what they straw polled on dramatically?
If I may,
Councilman Cione, Councilman Housel, do you want to participate in this since you're not going to be able to vote next year?
Well, I already sent my 2 cents.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, from a practical standpoint?
If it makes the process run better for everybody involved, I have no problem participating. I don't want to see a gap.
Or not participating? No, what I'm saying is I think I see where Councilman Higgins is coming from. If, say, your two, polls, if you will, sway one way or another, it's kind of irrelevant in the sense that you won't be able to take action on it next year anyway. So I think his concern is... in essence, not participating, even though you legally can, I think his concern is not participating and just allowing the 5 current and 2 council-elect to participate in the process.
I'm okay with whatever makes the process
Am I correct?
Less painful.
See, the process, what I'm trying to say is you got the five that are here, right? And they're going to, the small pole is like Patrick said, they should know where they're going to go.
Understand.
If those two are allowed to participate, are the two new ones that are coming on the council, are they going to change the outcome of the straw poll? You'll know that before the meeting.
You're right. As a practical matter,
as a practical matter,
you've got to find out a straw poll of what
right.
people think. I mean, you know, new council people can't vote now.
Right.
These guys can.
But will it change
but
it in January?
The new council can vote in January, but these guys can't.
Right.
But ultimately, it's four votes in January, assuming there's a full complement of the council. That's what's going to decide it.
And you've got four people here tonight that will be here next year. So if the four people agree, it's kind of like...
Oh, right, I see. Yeah.
It's a catch-22, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But what Rich's concern is, somebody could change your mind between now and then.
Well, that could be if there was no change in council anyway.
Right.
So, I mean,
but that can be explained to the state. We've got a deadline.
We have to get approval all over again.
Well...
You can explain it, but they're going to have to reapprove.
The way I look at this is you have four people right here that can vote to make the appointments or whatever. Right now, you've had the information, you've vetted the information, you know, it's not like we just got this today or whatever like that. So, I mean, you could make the decision today based on all the knowledge that you need to have. So the probability that you're going to change your mind, and any, you know, not you personally, but anybody, based on already digesting all of the information is, you know,
right,
a little slim to none, I would think.
Yeah.
I could say something was...
suggestion for the next of the leader. I think Rich's point about getting a straw poll makes sense. If the problem is you need to be able to, your immediate problem is to be able to instruct the state so you get it in the process. My sense is, why don't you do a straw poll and then have a special meeting afterwards where you get together for an hour among the people who are going to vote. And again, the problem is you guys are going off. But if there's four votes, then you can tell Rich, all right, this is what we think our council person is going to be, appointment is going to be. We'll send it in. It's done. And you got it, and if the state doesn't get 2 weeks, at least you'll have only a short period of time after January 1st where you're in a little bit of a limbo. So,
yeah, we said that kind of before,
yeah. Maybe
five different ways.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy decision to make, and I'm not downplaying it. It's, you technically have nine bodies, seven of which can act next year. Seven can act this year, but a different seven can act next year, so it's...
Okay, so what are we going to do?
Their opinion is important to me, coming on new, so if you take a straw poll now, I think that would be very informative, if nothing else. So, you know, then, you know, we can go on with a special meeting, it would be great. You know, I think that's a good idea.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea, too, but I think we should wait until after executive session.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Torres, well, you saw my comments in the email. You were on that email chain. So you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah. If I may, I can also, if council chooses, poll individuals and then advise everyone on the tally, too.
I don't think that's necessary.
No, I'm putting it out
okay. There.
Because one council member elect isn't here, and one current council.
But then again, we have a quorum, so I'm
comfortable with that as long as everybody says they'll check their emails tomorrow.
Well, no, I have a quorum on that one.
Everybody will return.
Here's what you have
to
understand. You have one position that's already been identified that somebody's going to abstain from.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
So you have two people that aren't here. So if you come up with a 3-3 split vote, do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with it afterwards.
Okay. Well, how about if we go back into it after the executive session,
okay,
as you suggest, so
yeah,
whatever information may influence a decision.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I had for council remarks. Mr. Higgins, what do you have?
The cannon. Your note, the cannon. What do we need to do about that? I mean, the guy's offering $3,000 in labor or $2,000 in cash. How is that even put in up there? Is that bolted in? Is it cemented in?
I'll be honest, I didn't look that closely because you posed the question to me. I passed it on to council.
And where did it come from? Do we have a history on it?
I reach out to the Historical Society. I'm waiting to hear back from them. I haven't heard anything.
Down at the league, I also spoke with Alan Fisher about it, or I spoke with Alan Fisher, who gave me his contact information. He is not aware of any historical significance of the cannon.
Okay.
Charlie Post, who has been around here for a long time, is not aware of any, although Mayor Van Duerson believes there is some historical significance behind it, but couldn't tell me what it was.
Well, actually, Dave, if you allow me, I was going to talk about the sale of the cannon, too, because I know it's been a sort of a topic. So I was going to say, make a motion to sell the cannon in the park in lieu of $3,000 work within the borough. I don't want to relegate it to just the park.
Right.
By a certified and insured contractor. Said contractor would have to pay for removal of the cannon as well as reseed the spot in the spring, bringing it to a natural state at the owner's expense. If approved, I would like to see something in writing to memorialize the transaction and scope of services. So this way, who cares how it's bolted in or whatever, that's his problem. If he wants it, he has to remove it, and he also has to fix the site in such a way that it's back to a natural state. He's insured, you know, we'll confirm all of that so there's no damage to the park, stuff of that nature. You know, and look, I can be honest, $3,000 worth of labor from an approved contractor within the town, we could definitely probably use that, more than we could use a cannon that no one knows anything about.
Well, the one thing I think we need to do, too, is to find out if there is more of a value to it.
How?
If this is, an antiques dealer or something, there are numbers on it. I think we at least have to make an attempt. I'd hate to sell something for $3,000 worth of labor that he takes to Antiques Roadshow and sells for $500,000, you know?
Well,
I mean, I doubt that would happen, but
we can get an appraiser that's qualified that can do it for free. I mean, they're not going to do it for cheap for nothing.
Put it on eBay.
Well, the WRNJ has an Antiques Roadshow type of radio program where they have an antique dealer in Hackettstown who does those kind of appraisals. So I was going to suggest that we reach out to them to see if they can come down and
before January 4th.
Let's get the new councilman.
I can do research.
Okay. That's right. I forgot your business there for a moment.
If there's no, let's put it this way. How about if there's contingency approval of the motion contingent upon, finding out the relative worth of the cannon?
Well, I don't think we're in a hurry to do this, are we?
What's the point of keeping it alive? I mean, at this point.
Well, just so we do our due diligence.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
The motion is contingent upon the appraisal, whatever that appraisal is. So if the appraisal comes back and says, well, the cannon's worth $10,000, then it's obviously a no deal.
Okay. I kind of think we're putting the cart before the horse there, personally.
Whatever. I mean, $3,000 worth of labor we could probably use before the pool opens, before, somebody gets stuff. That's all my point.
Can I advise?
How do you quantify that? How do you quantify that?
And what if the guy doesn't do it right, or you're unhappy?
That's it.
Unless you have a performance bond. You know, like we always get performance bonds when we have work done by a contractor, and so many times we've had problems with smaller jobs.
I think of the pavilion at the park.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Exactly, we ended up, I forgot what happened to that, but we had to chase some guy because he wasn't doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm. But what about he doesn't get the cat until after the
$3,000? Well, that's a good point.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to like that because we're going to expect all kinds of work from the guy.
I'd rather check it out first before we do any motion.
Okay. Whatever. As long as we put that in motion so that it actually happens.
Yeah, well, Mr. Torres has volunteered, so we'll crack the whip on him and get them down there tomorrow morning first thing or something like that and take a look at it.
I just have one other quick comment about that. It seems to me that as far as Civil War, and I know there's experts in every area in the antiques business. I'm not a Civil War expert. I know contacts that I'll just call to find out, but it is important to know any other historical information about the cannon. Now, it seems apparently people have checked, and no one can find out anything about this council. Because anyone else that does an appraisal will have to know some history of that town in order to appraise it correctly. I mean, if you, you know, designate, okay, Civil War definitely designated, you know, right after Civil War, you know, what manufacturer, and then, you know, I mean,
right, well,
a lot of variables.
Yeah, we're hoping that you look at make and model number or something like that, whatever information's on it, and come up with something.
But still, there should be some sort of...
Yeah, it would be nice, but... Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
The debt restructuring. How's that coming?
It's not. We cannot meet the 3% savings requirement.
Okay. But that's not a requirement. That's policy. That's not statute.
In order for the local finance board to approve the restructuring, that's their policy. In fact, there was an article in the paper 3 weeks ago or so, specifically from the director of local government services, saying they're not approving non-conforming restructured bonds anymore, refunding bonds anymore. It was in the Star Ledger.
Yeah. What used to happen as opposed to what's going to happen
if
now.
If we don't meet their 3% requirement in savings, they will not approve it. Now, that doesn't mean we're not looking into it. In fact, I know for a fact the CFO reached out to a financial advisor to see, now that the rates are lower, if we can achieve that 3%. 3% is a surprisingly high number.
That's it.
Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one item here. I would hope for to... you develop a proclamation for Charles Wright. I understand his service to the borough over 55 years in the firefighting department. I know he's well renowned in the county with the water pool he constructed, so they have to run miles to the lake to get water, you know, back in the day. So very instrumental in fire prevention, fire safety, and training. And recently I think they had a party for Charlie, and I would like for the town to recognize his service to the borough fire department.
Okay. We can do that.
Didn't we do a proclamation two, 3 years ago?
That was may have been Fletcher Wright.
Oh, sorry.
That was his brother.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. So any information you have on that?
Right.
Mr. Boyle, any information you have on that you think might be pertinent for the proclamation, if you would forward that to the manager, and we'll get it into the proclamation.
How soon, or what's the deadline on that before we can do a proclamation?
Proclamation is simple. Have that for the next meeting.
The straw poll on that.
Anything else, Councilman?
Wait a minute. We have to
thank you, Mayor.
For 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, not a mayor's proclamation, you know. Councilman Housel.
Palm Stars for the cannon.
Yeah, right. Go out to Vegas?
Yeah, go out to Vegas. What the heck? Actually, nothing.
Okay.
I have nothing.
Councilman Cioni.
I have two things.
Not the cannon.
Not the cannon. Okay. Dave stole my thunder on the cannon.
Boom.
Boom. Sometime earlier this year, council passed a resolution asking that the county waive the open space commitment, to which they declined. I make a motion to amend the earlier resolution, which was 54-2010, and ask them to again waive this tax for the 2011 fiscal year. This current tax in 2010 is .094, which would equate to $94 per $100,000 assessed value, or an average taxpayer savings of $133 in 2011. If this passes, this resolution passes, I would also ask that it goes to all municipalities in Warren County.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any objections or abstentions?
The last thing, you know, we're talking about professionals, and I had, you know, a thought, you know, a money saver that we could at least contemplate for the attorney, whichever attorney, instead of having them attend every meeting, if we reduce that by 50% and have them attend one meeting a month, they could probably reduce their retainer fees, and any issues that came up at that meeting where the attorney was not present, the manager could follow up the very next day and inform council of the answers at the next council meeting. So there really wouldn't be much of a lag time, and we would probably reap some savings in the retainer fee. So that's just food for thought. I won't be able to really formalize that, but
okay,
something to think about for the new council.
Actually, dovetailing off of that, I had that same thought. At one time, we talked about a working meeting and a business meeting, right?
Yeah, a workshop and a regular meeting.
Workshop, yeah, and then, you know, just a workshop to go over what was going to be conducted at the other meeting. But we could pay the bills at the workshop meeting, take care of what needed to be, action might be taken, right?
I don't remember that in particular.
No, I thought we were just talking about working on issues in the workshop meetings and not taking any action.
But see, you need to pay the bills. When you advertise it, you can say action may be taken, right? So you can pay the bills because that's the action that's being taken. Or if there is any special action that needs to be taken, it can be taken.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the business would be conducted at one meeting. The kind of like the official action. You remember us talking about that? And that meeting would be like bam, 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 bam.
Right, Rich?
Hopefully. Right. My only thought on that is, all right, we have our meeting today. Say the first meeting is a workshop.
Right.
So everything during the first, you know, between the second meeting of say, January and the first meeting of February, we present the council a list of everything we want on for the public meeting the following month. What about items that come up in between? I mean, a lot of things we do are time sensitive. And there's a pro and a con. I've done both. There is a pro and a con.
If they're advertised, action may be taken, you could still take the action there.
But then you wouldn't have the attorney there to advise you if you needed him.
Again, from what my opinion's worth, there's a pro and a con. Because in all reality, if you can do the same at both meetings, there's no reason to change what you're doing now. Just tell the attorney you only want him to come to one of the two. There's no reason necessarily to change the format of what's established.
But see, we would need to know that before we...
Well, that's right? Council's decision. I mean, when you go through your appointments and... I mean, I've done both. I've done, you know, workshop one meeting with a public the second. But in all reality, it's kind of the same meeting with a different title. Again, that's my opinion.
Hmm.
I think Rich is right in that regard. However, it is not uncommon now for municipalities, a lot of them are moving to one meeting a month. A lot of them, and a lot of my municipalities right now do this. They just have the attorney at one meeting a month. It's not uncommon.
So there you go.
One meeting a month, holding one meeting a month is very difficult if you have certain projects going on, because the prompt payment law does require payment be made within certain time frames. Is that a big effect? No. It doesn't come up that often, but it's just something to consider.
And with, in my opinion, again, this is just my opinion, with a manager form of government, I think it's better to have two meetings a month. You don't have to have the attorney at two meetings a month. But
that's,
I think...
That's the whole gist of what I was saying.
You really need to have the interplay between the manager and the governing body because of the nature of your meeting. I mean, the nature of your organization. If you had, you know, there are different forms of government. Some of them delegate to council members, running departments, and so forth. So those kind of municipalities don't have the same issues as a borough manager has, the form of government has. You folks, because you're legislative, you need to communicate on some kind of regular basis with the manager to make sure both the manager and the governing body are on the same page. So my view is twice a month makes sense, but I don't necessarily think you need the attorney at every meeting.
So what do we do about that? Again, is this something at this council?
Is that a policy issue, or is that a...
It's a form of government issue, because if
no,
you...
I,
I think he's talking about having
you.
Your position.
That's, be the attorney. That's a policy issue.
That's a policy issue.
Yeah, that's a policy issue.
No, that but policy can be made now. Who's in that position can't be made till next year.
Right.
So we can make the policy change now for the attorney, whoever that attorney is, only attends one meeting a month.
And you know some, the governing body next year could change it.
Could override it anyway, correct.
I mean, that's a, could be changed anytime.
That's only a policy.
Mm.
Like any other policy.
However, you know, if you negotiate a contract with the lawyer that says, okay, we're going to reduce your salary because you're only attending once a month, obviously that would, you know, surprisingly, the lawyer might want to kind of reverse that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'd also have to let the bidding attorney's firm, so to speak, know that this is going to be the policy going forward, so revise your numbers accordingly based on the fact that one meeting a month versus two meetings a month. So that would reap us a savings. We don't know what that saving is yet, but it would definitely be a savings.
That's right.
So, I mean, if we want to do this now, I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I think we've discussed it, unless there's any more. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I did have one other question.
I'm glad to know I was so important for these two meetings.
Yeah. The question I have, though, all right, say, listen, he comes only one meeting. Are we going to have it so that there's built into the retainer or whatever it is that something that has to be worked out with the employment agreement or whatever, say, all right, listen, it's so much per meeting, that's for example, $1,000 a meeting. That's $12,000 for the month, right, it's 12 months. Are we going to build in, say, $14,000 in case we need him throughout the year to attend two meetings?
I mean, I would.
You know what I mean?
That would be negotiating between
the counsel and the attorney.
I mean, you could argue the fact that, look, the Dick's firm, let's say Dick is, you know, X amount of dollars per hour, hourly rate. You could say if there's a meeting, for whatever reason, we need him for that second meeting a month. He would bill us accordingly at that hourly rate. Outside of the retainer for the duration of the meeting. Okay. So that would apply for any contingencies.
Don't forget, though, the retainer not only covers council meetings.
Right. It does the
conversations with the manager, with council
ordinances and all that other stuff.
But by doing it that way, where you're saying anything outside of the normal retainer is hourly, it holds council accountable for, you know, not frivolous nonsense.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you're going to have the attorney at the next, you know, twice a month for whatever reason, you better make sure it's valuable.
Aye.
Well, that's my point, right? All right. What else do you have, Mr.
Cioffi?
That was it, sir. Okay.
Councilman
Valentine.
No comments.
Okay. And that leaves us with a resolution for executive session, which is 213-2010 for personnel agreement. Personnel discussion.
I'll move that.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? We'll do this after a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? No. Any abstentions? Thank you.
Next thing we're told to get out of here.
Okay, do we have anything else to discuss?
No.
Hearing nothing, I'll accept your
move.
No
move.
Okay.
That's the holiday.
I heard a motion and a motion.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you.
To have the engineers sit here, too.